Hey, open up your Bible real quick or get your phone out or whatever you've got. We'll have the scriptures behind me. Let's read a bunch of scripture from Luke chapter 24. Let's start in verse 13. Really honored to be with you. I'm on a time schedule. I've got to 11:05, the boss said. And so I am under authority, my wife's authority. Luke 24, verse 13. The setting is that Jesus has already gone to the cross. Jesus has already been crucified. Jesus has already been raised, chapter 24, the first couple verses say. But we find something interesting after Jesus was raised. He immediately didn't go to heaven and stay there. He actually came back to the earth for 40 days, Acts 1 says, and showed himself alive after his passion. He showed himself alive and talked to certain people. He demonstrated the kingdom of God and the power of God. Well, in verse 13, we're going to read several scriptures. Notice this, follow along. Now, behold, two of them were traveling the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all the things that had happened, we just mentioned. So it was, verse 15, that while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him. They did not know him. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you're having with one another as you walk on and you're sad? They were talking about the events that had just happened. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, or that's what it says in another translation, said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And don't you know the things that have happened in these days? And he said to them, Jesus said, what things? So they said to him, the things which Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and the people, and how the chief priests and the rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. Verse 21. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel indeed, because besides all this, today is the third day that these things happen. Well, we knew about the third day, but nothing's happened. Yes, and certain women, verse 22, of our own company who arrived at the tomb early, and they astonished us when they didn't find his body. And they came to us and they said, we saw a vision of angels, and they said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb, and they found it just as the women said. But him, they didn't see. Then he said to them, O foolish ones, slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and the prophets, he expounded them all the scriptures concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, Emmaus it is there, and indicated that he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it's toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, and they took the bread, and he blessed it and broke it, and he gave it to them. Verse 31, don't miss it. Their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, didn't our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us? So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was made known to them in the breaking of bread. Amazing, amazing scriptures. More than just an Easter story. I believe it's got something for us today as we talk about, in the theme of the conference, really ancient paths. And these guys were on a road. These people were on a road. And an amazing encounter with Jesus. And just listen to me, ladies. Jesus encountered you last night on your road. Don't forget that. Don't minimize that. Don't say nothing happened. Something happened to you last night. The Bible says here that they were traveling from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and it was about 7 miles. Come on, say 7 miles. I believe with all my heart that today that your life could change in the 7 miles it took you to get from your house to this place, or 17 miles. Whatever it took, the road that you took to get here last night and today, I believe there can be a divine encounter with Jesus, with the living Word, with the Holy Spirit, with destiny, with purpose for your life. Regardless of what it looks like, regardless of the condition of your heart right now, what's gone on in Jerusalem, back at your ranch, back at your house, at your job, your life can change. So you got to have constant expectation. Come on, everybody. Your heart's got to be constantly expecting an encounter with God every single day. Every time you open up the Word, every time you come to church, every time you're talking with a friend, you need to be expecting to have an encounter with the living Jesus. The word Jerusalem, come on, note takers, write it down. The word Jerusalem means teaching of peace. It means teaching of peace, or it means double peace. It means double peace. And it's really interesting. Sometimes I don't plan it too much, but let me work with this just a little bit. The name for Emmaus means warm baths, warm baths. So get the picture here. We've got some people that have been to Jerusalem. They've encountered Jesus throughout his teaching and ministry, and we don't know how close they were, but we'll talk about that in a minute. But we find them after 3 days. They're expecting a resurrection. They don't think there's a resurrection. And so they leave Jerusalem. They leave the teaching of peace. They leave double peace. And they're on the way to the warm baths, the place of the warm baths. And so just again, for me, for you this morning in this time, let's just simplify this a little bit. They left the spirit and were headed towards what the soul and the body wanted. They left the spirit. They left the peace. They left the direction of God, the peace of God, the place that there's double peace, there's great peace, and they're moving to a place of ease. They're moving to a place where their soul can be massaged. They're moving to a place where the pain leaves them, if you will. And let me just encourage you, ladies, there's always going to be a lure and a temptation to take a lesser path. There's always going to be that lure. There's always going to be that dangling in front of you. Don't believe God here. Do your own thing. Don't take the high road. Don't take the ancient path. Take another way. But God is always going to direct you, and He's always going to minister to you to stay and be around Jerusalem, a place of peace, and not just a place of comfort, not just a place of ease, not just a place where, can I tell you, that there's times and we need respite and we need to catch our breath, and don't take this the wrong way. Sometimes I think that, you know, we're in the battle, you know, and when we're in the battle, you need to back off a little bit and you need to catch your breath. But I know so many times when people are in the battle, they back off and they keep backing off. And they wind up in a place called Emmaus, away from Jerusalem, away from peace, away from purpose, away from destiny. Let me challenge you, don't go there. The text says that while they were on the way, while they were on the road, something amazing happened. They were talking about the things that had happened, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. They were disturbed. They were agitated. They were frustrated. They were concerned, whatever all those words that we can factor in. But something interesting that I like about these two people, at least they were talking about Jesus. So listen to me. On your road, when you talk about Jesus, Jesus is going to show up. Come on, everybody. Jesus is going to show up. And what we've found, you know, Pastor Kimmery and I have found, is that whatever you talk about shows up in your life. Peace will show up. Fear will show up. Hope will show up. Worry will show up. What you decide to talk about while you're on the road. So you better make sure when you're on the road, and can I tell you, when all hell's hitting you on the road, all anguish is coming, all things aren't going well, you better be sure that you ain't talking about all that while you're on the road, that you start talking about Jesus and what Jesus can do. It's real easy when you go from here to Yuma on Highway 8, you're going to hit some bugs and they're going to get all over your windshield. And you can talk about all those bugs all you want, but what you need to do is hit those windshield wipers, baby, with the juice in there. Come on, everybody. And just get that stuff off your vision so you can keep moving down the road. Jesus shows up, it says, and he starts talking to these two individuals. In fact, real quick, just write it down, note takers. Write down Malachi 3:16. I was thinking about that this morning. Brendan, can we pull that up real quick? Malachi 3:16. Great scripture if you don't know it. Write it down. Brendan will get it for us. While he's getting it, let me read it to you. Notice what it says. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. Wow. So a book of remembrance was written before them for those who fear the Lord and those who meditate on His name. They feared the Lord and they spoke to one another, and the Lord listened to them and the Lord heard them. The Lord was hearing these people when they were on the road. And Jesus shows up, and what's interesting is that He can show up in your life and you not even know it. He showed up in these lives, these people's lives, and they didn't even know it. So just on a side here, I'm not saying this is a story here, but just a way of reminder for us this morning. Let me encourage you ladies to be real careful about who you hang around with a lot. Because who you hang around with a lot will determine what you see and what you hear. If you're hanging around, the Sister Downer, and negative family members and doubters and criticizers and gossipers and backbiters. Let me tell you what, you ain't going to see nothing. You're not going to hear anything. You're going to hear the world's going down. You're going to hear what's going on. You're just going to be confused. So let me encourage you, while you're on the road, the people that are around you will greatly determine what you get in your life. It's really interesting. Again, this isn't just an isolated instance of what's going on in people's lives on how Jesus shows up and people don't know it. I think it's interesting. You'll remember the story in John chapter 20 when Jesus was at, when Mary was at the tomb. The angels were talking to Mary and Jesus wasn't there. It says in John chapter 20, she did not recognize Jesus was there. She hears angels. She sees angels. She has a dialogue with angels. One translation says, thought that you were the gardener. And then Jesus shows up and Jesus starts talking. But it's really interesting. It's really interesting. Just listen to this. The text in John 20 says this, that she was weeping. Listen to me. She was weeping. She was weeping. So listen, your emotions can be so wrapped up in sorrow, pain, disappointment, that you don't even see the answer right in front of you. So full of angst, so full of worry, so full of sorrow, so full of bitterness, so full of, I don't know what to do, what's wrong with my kids, and I can't, and all the stuff that's gone on in life. Everything that goes on in life, and Jesus is standing right up and on your road, right there, and you miss Him. We miss Him. Because we're weeping. Maybe not on the outside, but there's brokenness and sorrow in our heart from what's gone on in our life maybe up until now. John 21. God, let me just say this real quick. Can I just say this? Let me just say this. I'm the only man. Well, we got some men in here, but John, I'm preaching. So can I just tell you, ladies, quit crying. Just quit crying. I'm not saying quit being emotional. I'm just saying stop crying about what's happened. John 21, another encounter. Just listen. Jesus is resurrected. Another appearance here. He's on the seashore. He's cooking some fish. The disciples are out there. He shows up right on time. So on your path, Jesus always shows up right on time. He knows exactly where your boat is. Come on. He knows exactly where the road of Emmaus is. He knows exactly where you're at. And these guys are out there in their boats and they're fishing and they're catching nothing. And then this man on the seashore says, cast your net on the right side of the boat. And so the brothers cast their net on the right side of the boat and they haul this great, crazy boatload sinking amount of fish. And it's interesting, the first person that recognizes Jesus is John. Not Peter, not Andrew, it's John. Why? Why? John was close to Jesus. He laid on Jesus' chest right there at the Last Supper. He was the closest of Peter, James, and John. He was closer than the 12. He was closer than all the 70. He was closer than the 500 after that. He was the closest disciple. Let me tell you what, when you're on your path, you must make sure you stay close to Jesus. Just leaning in. I'm just leaning in. Just want to lean in. Oral Roberts said this, and you that are in the church have heard me say this before. Somebody asked him, how often do you fast? You know, because Jesus never said, fast 3 days a week or fast 1 day a week. But somebody asked him, how often do you fast? And Oral Roberts said this, I fast when I don't hear or sense the presence of Jesus in my life. When he's distant, I'm not hearing him. How come I'm not hearing you? God, I got to hear you. I got to hear you for me. I got to hear you for us. I got to hear you for my kids. I got to hear you for the call of God on my life as you're all called. I got to hear you for what's going on at work. I got to hear you for my future. I got to hear you. So when I don't sense your presence, when I don't hear you, I fast and I pray. I pray. These two accounts and the third account with the guys on the road to Emmaus, they detail people that were close to Jesus and didn't recognize him at first because of their emotional condition. Their emotional condition. Ladies, I'm the wrong person to talk about your emotional condition and what goes on in you and dealing with, just be honest with you, cycles of the month and menopause and having kids and stretch marks and body change. And God bless y'all. My God, y'all got a special place in heaven. Let me tell you what, I'm convinced. But all these people, the men and the women, they didn't recognize Jesus because of an emotional condition in their lives. And so just real quick, Brendan, help me here. Psalm 43, write it down, ladies. I haven't got it on yet here for you on the screen, but we'll get it. Psalm 43, verse 5. Notice this. I love this. This is a scripture that when I was a youth pastor, man, I found. And 43, verse 5. You got it? There we go. Let's look at that. Why, David talking, why are you cast down, O my soul? How many know David's talking to himself right here? He's talking to himself. Why are you cast down, my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? One translation says, why are you making a noise within me? For I shall yet praise him. Oh, he's turning the corner here now. Come on. He's turning the corner here now. Come on, he's turning the corner here now, ladies. I'm going to praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Why are you making a noise? Why am I all emotionally tied up here? Why is this thing bothering me so much? Why am I letting what's coming to me affect my whole life, affect my relationships, affect my belief in God, affect my ministry, what God's called me to do? Soul, I'm talking to you. Be quiet. Look what he says in Psalm 45. Psalm 45, verse 1. Psalm 45, verse 1. He says, my heart is overflowing like and with a good theme. I recite my composition concerning the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. My heart's overflowing with a good theme. Soul, inside, why are you disquieted? Why are you agitated? Later he says, my soul, my heart, my inner man is overflowing with a good theme. Come on, what's going on the inside of your heart? It's going to determine what you receive while you're on the road. While you're on the road. I was talking to a friend at the gym last week, and it's a businessman, and we were just talking. I was just kind of picking his brain. I like to pick everybody's brain because everybody knows more than me, so I get smarter just asking questions. How many know that's true, right? So he said this during our conversation. He said, Gary, I've come to realize life is just all about paying attention. Paying attention. He said, I was in the room this past week, and my wife came to me and said, you're not paying attention. Your daughter's right here. She's 8. And you're not paying attention to her. Can't you see that she wants to spend time with you? And he said, I was so busy this past week and several weeks. I had lots going on. I wasn't paying attention to my wife, and it affected our relationship for that time. Let me encourage you. You can be on the road and you can not be paying attention on the road. The two on the road to Emmaus were on the road but weren't paying attention. Naturally they were, but not spiritually, to who was in their presence. The guys in the boat were paying attention to fishing, but they weren't paying attention that while I'm fishing, while I'm at Target, while I'm at work, I still have to be open to hear from Jesus. I need to be paying attention. You all that are in the church know that I cycle, I bike, and I really enjoy it. There's a guy that we ride with, and this guy, let me just kind of tell you a little bit about some, just real quickly, how you can bike. One of the positions in biking is they call it the arrow position. So you're not up on the saddle with your arms out extended. You're down and you're tucked and you're trying to get speed and you're trying to go fast. Well, this guy was on the Strand from Imperial Beach to Coronado. And he wasn't on the bike path and he was on the shoulder of the road. We ride on the shoulder just because, honestly, it's safer from all the people on the bike path. It's crazy. So he was on the shoulder, but he was tucked in an arrow position, and he was tucked for just too long. And he didn't realize that as he was tucked and he was going 22, 23 miles an hour all by himself, that all of a sudden he looked up and there was a motorhome on the shoulder parked, broke down. He smashed into the back of the motorhome going 23, 24 miles an hour. Broke lots of stuff. Thank God he's alive and doing well, but he just wasn't paying attention. Philippians 4, verse 8, it says, I don't know all the stuff it does say, but it says this, something like this, you know, think on these things that are true, things that are lovely, things that are a good report, things that are praiseworthy. Think on these things. Think on these things. Think on these things. So listen, Jesus showing up, it tells us in verse 17 in Luke 24, he finds these two disciples and he says this. Listen, he knew what road they were on. He knew what road they were on. He knew what road they were on. He drew near to them. It says this. He knew what they were saying. He knew what they were saying. He heard what they were saying. He heard their conversation. And thirdly, he knew what they were feeling. The Bible says they were feeling sad. He knew that. He could see that. So everything that's going on in your life, can I just tell you today? Jesus knows. Jesus knows exactly where you're at. He knows exactly what you're saying. He hears your conversation. He knows exactly what you're feeling. But it's interesting, on the heels of that, for five verses, it goes on to explain something that's really amazing. As Jesus asks them, you know, and they tell him, you know, as he draws near, he says, well, what are you guys talking about? What are you guys talking about? He knows what they're talking about. But he's asking, what are y'all talking about? And they start, I mean, come on, they're going, where you been? Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? Haven't you heard? Come on, this is the guy who got crucified. Look on the screen. I think we have this here for you. Jesus' response, their response to Jesus is kind of enlightening, because here's what it says. They knew about him. They knew about him. They knew he was Jesus of Nazareth. They knew what he did. He was a prophet, mighty indeed. They knew he delivered them. The chief priest delivered Jesus. They knew he was supposed to rise on the third day. That's what it says. They knew the women who didn't find his body in the tomb. They personally knew those women. And lastly, they knew the women who saw the angels and they said he's alive. Listen to me. They knew all that. They said all that. But they still didn't know him. Still didn't know him. Ladies, this book has got to have flesh and blood and breathing and life. This is the walking Jesus for you. It's the walk in Jesus. Paul says this in Philippians 3. Come on, I'm winding down here. Paul says, my determined purpose is that I may know Him. That I may progressively, look at the words, progressively become more intimately, more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him. Notice, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of His person more strongly and more clearly. Determined purpose. Progressively, more deeply, more intimately, perceiving, recognizing, understanding Him, the wonders of His person, more and more clearly. After they reiterated to Jesus what they knew, Jesus is amazing because He rebukes them for not believing the Word. I don't know where in your theology that we get to the point that we think that Jesus can never tell us anything of correction, but how many of you know that's some wrong teaching? Jesus, God, is a good, good Father, and there are times that He's going to correct you. Come on. So He begins teaching them, it says, from Moses and all of what the prophets say. Isn't it interesting? Jesus brings them to the Word. What the Word already said about Him. Interesting is that they didn't see and accept His teaching about suffering. That was the sticking point. That was the sticking point. That was the sticking point, ladies. And so let me encourage you. Your answer is always going to be found in the Word. Listen to me. Comma. Not your favorite part of the Word. Not your favorite part. Paul writes Timothy and says, God's Word is for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training. So you and I must always be open to the whole counsel of God. Come on, how many of you want the whole counsel of God? Yeah. So it's interesting here. Pick up the story. Come on, we're winding down. Jesus rebukes them. Jesus opens the Scripture. And then it says this. He was going to keep going. He was going to keep going. They've come to Jerusalem. We don't know exactly between Jerusalem and Emmaus when Jesus intercepted them. But they're walking to Emmaus and they're going to stop at Emmaus. And the Bible actually says that He was going to keep going. But the Scripture says that they urged Him. They insisted Him. They constrained Him. One translation says they begged Him. Stay with us. The night's far spent. Come on. You need to be with us tonight. Listen to me, guys. How long Jesus stays on your path isn't up to Jesus. It's up to you. It's up to you. Where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? Are you begging Him to be in your life? Are you constraining Him to be in your life? He comes to the house. They hang out. They talk. He breaks bread with them. At their house, and the Bible says, their eyes were opened and he vanished. And they said what we read in the great Scripture, verse 32. Didn't our heart burn within us as He talked to us? Let me just ask you a question. When's the last time your heart burned as you're reading the Word? Or has it become old to you, stale to you? Just crusty to you. If that's the case, you can be on the right path. You can be with the right people. And you're not going to hear from a living Jesus. What I like about the encounter is after Jesus shows up, Jesus corrects them. We don't have them whining, complaining. I can't believe He's correcting me. I'm going to leave church and God and yeah. No. It's really interesting. He vanishes. You know what these people. And by the way, we know who's here. One person is here. Cleopas. It says his name. John 19 says he's got a wife, because there's three Marys at the cross in John 19. And Mary, the wife of Cleopas, was there at the cross. So most theologians believe it wasn't two men on the road to Emmaus. It was Cleopas, a man, and his wife, Mary. Stop here for just a second. I might need another minute, prophetess of the house. Maybe I won't. But I find it interesting, back because we're reading after the resurrection. Mary, who's married to Cleopas, was at the cross with Jesus' mama, Mary, and Mary Magdalene. And I find it uncanny that Jesus shows up for her and her husband because she showed up for him at the cross. I know some people in my life. We were just up in Canada 2 weeks ago and met with some people, just hang out with some people that were in our church up there. That 25 years ago, everyone it was, I'll never forget the love and the sacrifice they were for me. Never. So we're there and we remember and we talk and we discuss and our hearts are affectionately drawn toward. Jesus shows up, breaks bread, leaves. Didn't our heart burn within us? But check it out. Check it out. This couple did not stay in Emmaus. They did not stay in the Bath area. They did not stay where it was warm, where it was cozy, where it was comfortable. The Bible says they went back to Jerusalem, the place of peace. Maybe for some of you, God's saying, you need to go back. Listen to me. Not back physically, but back in your soul. Remember when you were on fire. Remember when you were passionate. Remember when you couldn't get enough from me. Remember when the word was burning in you. Remember when you got up at night. Remember when you stayed up late at night and you got up early in the morning. Remember when you served. Remember. He's calling you from your warm bath, ladies, to the place of peace, a purpose, place of power. You do realize that your direction determines your destiny. Your direction determines your destiny. You know, just think with me. Let me just close down right here. Remember the lady, the one with the issue of blood. We all know that story from Mark chapter 5. Has a flow of blood. And so remind you, she's messed up physically. But the Bible says she heard of Jesus. And when she heard of Jesus, she did something. She got on a path. She got on a path. But the path wasn't easy. The path wasn't easy. Just a couple things. There was disappointment. There was disappointment. Her mind playing tricks on her over the past failures. 12 years. 12 years. 12 years of disappointment. And you're going to get on a path this time? Distractions on the path. Her body was still bleeding. Now, you read the story. When she came to Jesus, listen, ever how long it took, and nothing happened until she touched the hem of his garment. But distractions. Her body still doing what her body had been doing for 12 years. How about disillusionment? It's a long way. Disillusioned from wherever she left to find him. Doubt was in her, I guarantee you, doubt. Devil condemning her. What are you doing? If the devil's lying to you and me, imagine a person trying to get healed like and going to Jesus. The same devil that's alive today was alive then. Messing with her. And I just, you know, since we're talking about some D's here. Last D, how about demons? Not only the devil, not just demons and, you know, demonic spirits. But how about just people? What about people, demon people, glaring at her that knew she was bleeding? Levitical law said that she could be stoned. Ladies, let me encourage you. Don't let anything stop you on your path getting to Jesus. Leave a place of comfort. Leave a place of ease. Leave a place where it's all good. Be open for correction. Be open for God talking to you on the path that you're on. And maybe you say, I'm on the path, but I'm going the wrong way. You got to leave Emmaus, and you got to get your way back to Jerusalem. There's a great scripture, and I'll close here. The Message Bible, I know Pastor Kimberly reads from a little bit at the house, and it's in 1 Timothy, and it's talking about husbands' roles, and really about wives and what wives. I guess it's really all about wives and about dress and all that kind of stuff. But in the Message Bible, it says something great in 1 Timothy 2:10. It says, not primping, look at this, not primping before a mirror. Now listen, come on, ladies, as a husband, I want you primping in front of a mirror. So, but he's talking about balancing the life. Not primping before a mirror or chasing the latest fashions, but, notice this, doing something beautiful for God and becoming beautiful doing it. I love that scripture. If you don't get anything today, write that down, would you? Doing something beautiful for God and becoming beautiful doing it. Becoming beautiful. I believe every step that the woman with the issue of blood took coming to Jesus, she became more and more beautiful. I believe when the guys, Cleopas and his wife Mary, when they were with Jesus, I believe every step leaving Emmaus, going back to Jerusalem, they became more and more beautiful. Father God, today we just thank you for the word. Thank you for every woman, every teenager, every young adult woman here, every senior woman, every married woman, every single woman in this room. Father, you know every heart, you know every sadness, you know every sorrow. Father, you know what they've dealt with all week, all year, for the last decade. Father, you've been on the path with them, Jesus. You've been on the path. Maybe they haven't recognized you, Father, today and in this conference. I thank you that their hearing is becoming more and more acute and astute. Father, they're seeing, their vision is becoming more centered and focused on you, your purpose, and your word. Father, I thank you that you're turning sorrow into joy. Father, that as we're hearing the word of God, a fire is burning in our hearts again. Father, we will not stay in a valley of weeping. No more. We're going to stop crying about what's happened. And Father, we're going to talk about Jesus. And as we talk about Jesus, Jesus is going to show up in our lives. We're going to recognize Jesus on our journey. 7 miles changed their lives. Strengthen every lady, spirit, soul, and body to keep walking with you, Father. We pray in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, say amen. Amen, amen, amen. Amen, amen.